Yes, guys, welcome back to the Once You're In, You're In podcast, episode 113. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, as always, for joining the podcast. We are currently on 386 subscribers on YouTube and 714 Spotify followers. Can we get those numbers up? Can we get up to 750 on Spotify? Can we get up to 400 on YouTube?
It was our dream to get to 500.
We've
dreamt about it.
It will be our dream.
Yeah, it will be. So
you know what I think though, in future, like, it will be cool looking back at these. Like, let's say we're doing this in 5-10 years time, and we've got, not saying we're gonna have a crazy following, but let's say we've got a good few thousand people.
600 people.
Yeah. We can look back at these.
Go on. Remember those days in the trenches at 300 subscribers?
How many Spotify ratings do you think we've got? Because we've not looked at that for a while.
I don't even know what we were on.
We were on like high 200s, low 300s last time.
Did we not hit 250? And then we like smashed by it and we were like 260 or something. Because we mentioned it.
Nah, I'm sure we were on low 300s.
Was it 300? I honestly can't remember.
326.
Not bad.
Can we get that up to 350, guys?
Yeah. That'd basically, cool. If you're listening and you're absorbing our free content, click subscribe, click like, go onto our platforms and just give it a bit of love.
You know, I always appreciate it.
I always get a bit irked when I see people share like stuff that we do, and I'm like, you know, it says subscribe. I'm like, just click subscribe.
Yeah.
Like, I don't subscribe like to many accounts, but if I watch somebody and I'm like, oh, these guys are good, I'll just subscribe. Just because it's
especially
like,
when they ask for it as well.
Yeah, yeah. Like, well, like we are, guys. Please, please, if you're watching this, click subscribe.
If you're looking
click
at the subscribe button,
click the bell. We'll do all that sort of stuff.
And it's not say, and it isn't highlighted because you've not subscribed. Do it.
Yeah.
And on Spotify, just scroll to the top of our page and click follow.
Because we do this out of the kindness of our heart, aka give up an afternoon when we're pretty busy, just for content that you guys absorb for free. So come on, guys, please help us out. Anyway, this is going to be a Q&A.
Said, just quickly.
Yeah, we still plugging ourselves.
FPL.
Yeah, FPL. Have you made your team?
Yeah, but I'm not 100% sure on it. We've got ages yet. It doesn't start until like another month.
Have you got Trent? Got Haaland.
I have got Trent, but I don't think I might not have him at the when it actually starts. Haaland's obviously 100%. Saka's 100%.
Well, you think Saka's a cert? Like,
yeah, mate. He's only 8.5 million.
I haven't looked.
He's on penalties.
Yeah.
There's a few certs, but there's a few.
Who's the certs? Would you say?
Haaland, Saka, probably even in Mbeumo.
Really.
Yeah, because he's going to be their main man. He's a midfielder. He's on penalties. He's only 6.5 mil.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Probably someone like Estupiñán. Yeah. Quite cheap. 5 million, I think he is. There's a few that are like, yeah, pretty much definite. But there's quite a few that are like, like Matoma, I'm not 100% sure. Jesus, I'm not sure. Fernandez, I'm not sure. Rashford, I'm not sure. Luke Shaw, I am actually probably sure.
Luke Shaw, I'm sure.
No, actually, I'm probably sure. Gabriel. For Arsenal, I'm probably pretty sure.
Yeah,
he's only 5 million. So yeah, basically, guys, if you want to join the FPL league, then I believe there's a code or there's a link, and we'll post it every now and again on our stories. So if you want to join the Once You're In, You're In league, then just anytime you see us talk about it on our stories, then join it on there.
Yeah.
Winner gets £100 and a session with ourselves.
Did the guy want to train with us?
I don't think so.
He just wanted the money.
You don't want to train with us, you don't have to.
He just wanted the money, doesn't want to train. So, yeah. Is it either option? Do they get the money or the session?
No, you get both.
So we need to give away a session.
we can message you. Mate, if you want that session, because he messaged me last time.
Yeah.
He messaged me from when we mentioned it. If you want that session, you can have that session probably back end of the year.
Yeah, let Finn get fat and we should be all right. Yeah. So, yeah, right, questions. Do you want to get into them?
Yeah.
It's been a few weeks since we've done any questions, so I'm not too sure. I looked through and I don't think I've got that many, but we'll see. Maybe I have. I feel like sometimes the questions don't really pop up.
Yeah,
oh, no, I've got a few. I got one guy asking, can you rate his physique? 179 centimetres, 98 kg, classic physique. Well, unfortunately, mate, it's not rate your physique. So, like,
send it in when it's a rate your physique episode.
This was, if you read the question box, podcast questions, not podcast rate your physiques.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, sorry, mate. Even though you look all right, but I can't even say that. That's all. You look all right, bro.
Sam, bleep that.
Yeah, bleep that. He can't get any feedback on his physique. Imagine it would be like, let's say, a client checking in and he was like saying something like, I don't know, let's say you had a rule of like form feedback only on one day, because there's some coaches that have like
some form feedback. Only four videos really? Per week.
Imagine you said to a fifth, you're like, hey mate, I'm accidentally can't get back to that sorry one. Mate, yeah, I can't get back to that till next week, unless you want that to take up one of your four. God, Jesus Christ.
Embarrassing. Imagine.
Yeah, shocking. I feel like we do need to... We said we do like a podcast going through like...
We'll do that. One time when coaching, we put a questions box up, we'll put like...
Worst coaching stories.
Yeah, worst coaching stories. These will be kept anonymous. Yeah. We'll do that one time.
Yeah.
Right, first question. Ahmed Ayoayo, not Diallo.
No.
Mate.
Diallo.
Keep an eye on him this year.
No chance. He's been on loan, mate. You wouldn't... If he
did
was...
you not see the, some of the goals we've scored for Sunderland?
Yeah, but
though?
35 million and he gets sent on loan.
Like... Yeah, but he was never meant to be a starter when we bought him. He's a really young lad, isn't he?
Yeah.
Dips for chest or try?
Both.
Both,
what's
yeah.
the issue with both, bro?
Yeah, that is one thing that I think people forget is that not every exercise has to be an isolation exercise. Not How everything many... just hits one body part. Like, on dips, you're going to hit... Your costal pecs, your sternal pecs, even your clavicular pecs to an extent. You're going to hit your triceps. You're going to hit your front delts.
Yeah. Like how many times will you have a client mention to you like out the gate, hey, mate, I've only got one shoulder press
yeah,
in
I've
my
not
whole
got,
session.
I've not got a direct rear delt fly. Yeah. It's like, yeah, but you've got four rows across the week. Yeah.
It's funny. I literally had someone say that to me this week, like a new startup. And I said to him, just do like a single arm, do a mid-back row, which is a single arm, and with your non-working hand, just touch your rear delt. And just do it body weight. Like, see, you feel your rear delt and you go, oh, yeah, it contracts. Like, yeah, I think a lot of people think, like, for example, like a high inclined Smith machine press, like a medium inclined Smith machine press, they'd view that and think, chest, no front delt. When in reality, it's like, no, you're getting a lot. Like, just because it doesn't say shoulder
don't
press.
Don't have any kind of shoulder press really in the program. And it's like, just because they're maybe their chest a bit weaker or they need to bring up their chest because they're probably pressing through their shoulders a lot anyway. But then they'll go like, why is there not a shoulder press? I'm like, because your shoulders, you're pressing with your shoulders on every exercise you do anyway.
Exactly. So don't try, like, when it comes to a dip, you can have a movement, like, I'd have a dip biasing, like, let's say, the triceps, but I'm not going to go, okay, I'm not going
to
get any chest activation there. Yeah, it's the reason why, like...
Try and isolate.
It's the reason why, like, I find, like, minimum, you know when people say, like, how many sets do you do for this body part? Like, it's so challenging to assess because, like, are you counting the ones where there's going to be crossover? And you should. But, like, if you're saying, okay... I'm doing a tricep dip. You're still going to get chest work, but then
Even
is that
if you're
adding
doing
into
like a dip machine?
So yeah, that's part of it, right? Evan Payne has asked. He actually messaged me, like saying he followed up with like, sorry mate, I didn't word it very well. And to be fair, I'm going to be honest, Evan. Even the question itself, when you DM me, he didn't word it very well. But basically, he's asked how can he. I'm not going to read the question because it was worded pretty poorly. But I can kind of get how he's got confused. And pretty much, he just asked like, let's say when it comes to warm up sets, how do you warm up effectively without fatiguing yourself? So
I always explain it to clients as I call it an inverse model. So, and I always do this when I'm doing the setup videos because I always explain it. And I do this every time.
Okay.
So I go, this is an inverse model. And what I mean by that is the weight's going to come up and the reps are going to come down.
Yeah.
So basically what we're going to do is we're going to work the load up closer to your working sets, but we're going to bring the reps down as we get closer to the working set.
Yeah.
So let's take a...
Do you use an example? Because I always I have the same example every time.
I
say
always
like
use
deadlift.
An example on their first session. So whatever's in their first session, I'll use like one of the main movements.
Yeah, yeah.
So it might be a leg press, it might be a hack squat, it might be a deadlift.
Yeah.
I'll always show it on their sheets and do that as an example. But yeah, deadlift for example. So you might do 60 kilos, maybe even the bar as your first warm-up. But let's say you do 60 kilos for 8 to 12 reps as your first warm-up.
Yeah.
It's easy. You're nowhere near failure. It's not challenging. You then do 100 kilos. And you do 3 to 5 reps.
Yeah.
So you've brought the reps right down, but the weight is heavier. You then do 140, 3 plates per side. You do a single or a double. 180, 4 plates a side, single. You might even then, for some people who are doing, let's say, 260, 280, you might have another single on 220, and then you're ready to go.
Yeah.
Or for myself, let's say, at the minute, my stiff leg is 60 for 5 to 8, 100 for 2 to 3, 140 for 1, 160 for 1, and then I go in on my top set on 180.
Yeah.
So inverse model, work the weight up, bring the reps down. Last one or two sets, on a last one or two warm-up sets, like realistically you're doing a single or a double, just confidence building.
Which I find a lot of people don't do.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
When I tell
people
I do singles, people go, like, the amount of times I'll have clients go, oh, like do sets of like 4 or 5. Like even with like Josh 20 yesterday,
20 kilos down from the top.
Yeah,
set
Josh yesterday on some like final warms, he was doing like sets of 3 or 4, and he's like 1 or 2 pins off his like top set. And
wasting
like,
energy.
You just like you're doing 3 or 4 reps, which I know it's 3 reps. You probably would get 12 on that, but that's still, like, just why do you need to do more than 1 or 2? And we should also mention as well, like something Finn didn't touch upon, but obviously it's going to depend on the demands of the exercise, the loading, and where it's placed in the session. So if you're doing, let's say, a push focus session and you're doing 3 presses, like when we were at peak strength, our third press we probably do 1 warm-up,
maybe
you just go straight in if it's a dip, like if it's only a tricep dip though, only a dip bias in the triceps. When in comparison to our first press, like let's say we had a session, it was fun, I missed those days, the hammer strength, when we just had the plate loaded hammer strength, and then we do like, I can't remember what our second or third press was, but we had a hammer strength chest press, we do probably 1 plate, 2 plates, like 3 plates, 4 plates, 5 plates. We probably do like legitimately like 5 or 6 warms up until we get ready to go. But if we were to then look at our, let's say, third press, let's say that was a tricep dip, it probably is maybe one warm up.
Yeah.
And then sometimes we'd both be like, feel good, just going to jump in.
Yeah.
Like maybe you do a body weight set just to get acclimated to the movement
most,
and then
most
go in.
Most movements that I'll do from the second half of the session onwards, I probably don't even warm up.
Yeah.
Because I'm already very warm.
Yeah,
like I don't need to warm up. I know where the loading is. Like it's usually at that point in the session, safer exercises anyway.
Yeah,
I'm not going to be doing any 4 or 5 reppers on some isolations at the end of a workout.
Yeah,
like I don't really need to get warm. I'm not doing a warm up on a bicep curl. I'm just going into it.
Yeah, and also one thing I would say that I've played around with, I saw this on a JP video like maybe a year or two ago. Warm-up sets being a little bit like making the jumps a little bit smaller as you get closer, especially on the more demanding movements. So like, as Finn said, like he'll do 1 plate, 2 plate, 3 plate, and then 4 plate potentially. Something I've tried to play around with, and I'm not actually too in tune with it through personal experience, but I've done it a few times, is like I make the warm-up jumps smaller as the load gets greater, so it's not that big of a jump.
You have to do that
but
anyway.
Yeah, you do that out of like just like, not necessity, but you do that out of not even realizing, because the load's going up and you're like, well, I can't just add an extra plate per side.
60, 100, 140. 160, 180.
Yeah, exactly. So the jumps get smaller as the load gets greater. So it's not like, Jesus Christ, I've just thrown on an extra plate and I'm close to my max. So, yeah. And again, this is also something you've got to realize. It's very person dependent. Like, I would, if anything, kind of assess, and like warm-ups are things where you can assess data and actually analyze what feels good, what doesn't feel good. And most likely you'll know, like, oh, I warmed up properly there because I felt really ready for the sets. Or if you're feeling like the amount of times that, let's say, me and Finn will be training with, let's say, on a leg day, like someone else, and we might do on the ham curl, something that we do just from a time efficiency standpoint, is you might get all your warm-up sets like kind of boxed off within
one go,
maybe 2 goes. So like, let's say you do the second or third pin, you then give it a minute and you're still on the machine. Like, we're not swapping, we're just going through the warms to get ourselves ready. The amount of times that I'll do maybe a few warms and go, I'm actually going to do another warm-up set, or I feel good. Like, and it's just kind of that auto-regulation of how do you feel. And I think nowadays we live in a world where like everyone has to be told exactly what to do, and that's cool for us coaches, link in bio. We'll happily tell you what to do, but in all seriousness, like, just go by feel, go by how you're feeling, and go based off what the demands of the exercise are. And after a few rotations, you'll probably know roughly, like, I don't know how many warm-up sets I'm going to do tomorrow for my deadlift, but I like know if you were to ask me and I was to actually think about it, I'd go, oh, actually, that's how many I'm
probably
going to
be this.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't have it pre-planned or anything like that.
I think one thing that you can do as well, like, especially if it's a new exercise and something that we've often done, is you could even do your final warm-up as the same load as your top set, or maybe even sometimes heavier.
Or do your back off set first.
Yeah.
And then go heavier.
You can almost like class it as a potentiation warm-up set.
Yeah.
Where it's either the same load, because then you know, like, okay, I know how that load feels now, I'm more confident. Or you go, okay, I know how that load feels, I'm now going to do a slightly lighter load, which will feel lighter because I've just done a heavier last warm. I'll probably take this as, we'll see what I'll get. I'll probably take it as a back off and then do my heavier set second.
Yeah.
So I'm a bit warmer, a bit more confident on it. It's usually the case, especially on new exercises, like, or if you're in a new gym with different equipment that you've not used before.
Yeah.
Don't go in and be like, oh yeah, I'm going to do, this feels all right, I reckon I'll get 3 to 5. Like, just do your back off set first, get good at the movement, feel the movement, and then go, okay, cool, that felt good, I got 12. Let's add half a plate or whatever it may be.
Like, and then
rather
you can
than
go
taking
in,
a two repper because you're not used to that machine.
And then you can go in probably the following week on the load that you did for your second set, which would be heavier, and because you're fresh, you'll probably move that really, really well. Yeah. And you'll be confident because you'll be like, well, I did this last week and I've got more reps. So I got, let's say you get 5 reps, but you then go in on it fresh the following week, you'll probably get that for an 8. So, yeah.
Tyler Rag asked us, he asked in the DMs. Okay. It was like, I'm not going to get the DMs up because it takes you off the stories, doesn't it? Takes you off the questions.
Yeah.
But it was something like, in off-season, are you going to do videos like putting our fingers in holes and throwing them? And Ninja Warrior videos again. Yeah, we will do.
Yeah, we might have some energy again, and we'll be doing content that isn't just
boring.
No, to be fair, we say this every time. When Finn last prepped, I remember saying to Finn, like, oh, we should go for food. We've legitimately had food together, like just me and you, 3 times, 4 times.
Yeah, but also you think like it's not really that in line with what we do.
No,
like it can be.
Yeah.
But
we are never, unfortunately, guys, you're never going to see me and Finn do a 10K calorie challenge on YouTube, like, no matter what. I think it's one of those, like, I think a lot of,
I think we will probably go out for food more after my shows and stuff, but...
Yeah. And I think we should do, like, more weekends, like, what we did in Liverpool, that was wicked.
Yeah, I
that
think
was
we will
fun.
Do more stuff like that,
and
to be fair.
And that's what we should do. But at the same time, like, with how we are, like...
At the same time,
we're
busy
not,
and we
we're
enjoy
gonna,
what we're doing,
yeah.
And we're doing well. It's like... we're not just going to be like, oh, well,
yeah, let's just
we've
change
earned the
up,
right
yeah.
to go out every weekend because it would be nice.
Oh,
like.
Yeah. It would be cool, like, for example, when we go to Rotherham again and we're both, like, let's say in the winter months on off seasons training together.
Yeah, we go for
and
like
we go for yeah, we go for a
post-workout.
But then that's not going to make our friendship any better.
No, and we'll also just get sick of it because we'll be like, I don't really want to get that.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Let's just have what we usually have and go home.
Yeah, like, literally, we're like... For me and Finn, like, what we'd do is we'd, like, if he's driving, we'd, like, or we'd, whatever, Finn would have a shake, we'd watch a YouTube video, and I'd eat my post-workout, or let's say cereal. If I'm driving, it would be the exact same. It would just, it's one of those, like, I think a lot of people probably view it and think you have to do something. Like, no, like, for us, it's just very basic and boring, which I think works in a good way, because it's not like we miss out on anything.
You enjoy it.
Yeah. But then at the same time, it's not where like I'm like, oh my God, I need to have that camaraderie of like going out for a meal with you, mate. No, it's not how it works. So yeah, we probably will do more videos like that because I feel like we should give a bit more of an insight into our lives, but our lives are very similar and it's not that insightful.
We don't do Ninja Warrior every week.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not that much more insightful than what we'd like. Our lives are pretty much the same.
Just on our stories.
Yeah, yeah, literally.
This is a good question.
Okay.
Ben Ridgers. Rank each other's 7 bodybuilding poses in order, best to worst. So I think he's just on about muscularity poses.
Okay.
Oh, so if we think front
like
lat.
Quarter turns. Can we not do quarter turns?
We can do. Front lat, front double, side chest, side tri, rear lat, rear double, abs and thigh, most muscular. So it's 8 poses.
Yeah.
Plus the quarter turns. So it's 12.
It's a lot of poses. That made me miss out the quarter turns and stuff.
Okay, so the 8 poses, which
imagine
is
your first pose, like your best quarter, like your right side's really good, but your
my
left side.
My right side is not as good as my left.
Yeah. Okay, let's just go through. Okay, it's hard to. Yeah, I'd have to almost like draft them. You know,
right,
if I was
let's
to
just,
think.
Let's, right. So what?
Should we do best and worst, and we just fill in the middle?
Yeah. So my worst is probably at the minute my rear double bicep.
Okay. My worst. Probably my front relax, but we're not going through them.
No.
Front double.
Yeah. It's shit.
Yeah. Not the best.
My best is probably my side chest.
Yeah. I'd say for me, probably similar. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah. Side
so
chest.
Second worst is my rear lat spread.
Second worst for me. Front lat, maybe? I don't know. My front lat is, I'm very mid in everything. Yeah. Everything, like for me, I'm like, it's all right. It's not awful. It's not amazing, you know?
Same for both.
Yeah.
My second best is probably my front lat.
I'd say our second best. Either rear lat or side try.
My third best probably at my side try. Third worst is probably...
Third worst for
my
me.
My abs and thigh.
Yeah. Third worst probably most muscular for me.
Yeah, my most muscular is not great.
And then the rest is just
in the middle.
Like, we're just very mid. We're just average, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
A good question, though.
It was a good question when I think about it, but, like, I feel like I'd
It'd
have
to,
like...
be good with visuals and to, like, actually do, like, a tier list video. We'll have to do that one time.
Yeah, that would actually be quite good.
That would be good.
Right. Next cars in mind for you both. I mean, you've only had your Mustang for, like, a short period of time.
I have,
like,
but
so, yeah.
I keep thinking about buying a Jaguar F-Type and having two cars.
You mentioned you wanted a Jag, didn't you?
Every time I see one, I'm like, oh, what's that? Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, it's the car that I like.
You notice, like, I never noticed, like, real nice, like, BMs until I got one. And I was like, now every time I see a BM, I'm like, oh, what's that? Is that a comp? Is that what I wonder what that is? Is that got the same engine as mine? Like,
it's weird. Like, every time I see one of the Jaguar F-Types, I think, oh, that looks dead nice. Yeah. And then when I get close to it, it's an F-Type every time.
Yeah.
But I also keep seeing Mustangs, and I'm like, this is cool. Cause like,
you see the one that I tagged you in on? Yeah, that was nice. Wicked. That was a 5-litre. It said 5.0.
Yeah, they do, mate.
And I was like,
I could buy that and put it on the side.
No, I'd just buy a 5-litre.
You can
sticker.
Do, yeah. I wouldn't, yeah, but
they sound different. They sound. It sounded well beefy.
They are. But they just cost a bomb to run.
Yeah.
I could have got one for actually cheaper than I got that, but it would have cost me stupid to run it.
That's why you get a 3-litre twin turbo engine like mine. So it's not 5 litres, but it's the same power. And it doesn't cost as much. Still costs a lot.
But no, like I wouldn't really buy two cars. Like, no. Although it is nice. But I think in the long term, I don't know. I do really like my Mustang. I don't know, again, I've said this before, I'm not enough of a car guy to be like, oh, I'm gonna get this. I don't really know enough about
it. My mum's Land Rover's lovely.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's beefy, very nice. But unfortunately I don't think I have 120 grand to drop on a car at the moment. Maybe. I've got 110K followers.
I was gonna say you should have more money in the bank than followers.
Yeah, true. Shit, I claim you're a business mentor.
I wonder if Ben's
taking on. Yeah, you're way better than me when it comes to client to follower ratio. Fuck.
Yeah,
I've got TikTok kids, that's what it is. I just sell training plans at this point, guys.
How are they going?
Decent, to be fair. Yeah, it's one of those. It's just like passive income. Like, it's not where I push them. I remember literally, Sanaa was like, you haven't mentioned your training plans in ages. I was like, okay, I probably do need to actually mention them. Because I've had a few messages, and I'll be like, I do actually sell training
plans. That's probably better for your audience.
Yeah, yeah, on TikTok, I'd definitely say.
And even on Instagram. You don't have 100,000 active followers.
No.
So you're better off selling to it's like a big net.
Yeah, exactly.
And just grabbing a few people because here's some
programs. Literally, I posted the training plans and I think on the same day I got like 9 sales and I was like, Jesus Christ, like I just made like, no, it's not a lot. Quid. It's not like, that, yeah. Like to just randomly acquire 250 quid, you're like, oh, sound, like I'll take that. But yeah, it's just literally, I probably do need to post about them more. So anyone who wants a training plans, link in bio. But yeah, for me, car-wise, I'd like a top spec Porsche Panamera, like all black. Yeah, really nice. I like the Toucans, like turbo S's, but I'd want to hear the car. Like, I don't want to hear like an engine that's just electric. I want to hear a bit of meat. So that would be, if they did one that just sounded like it was a petrol, but it was an electric, then maybe. But I'd like an all black, like top spec Porsche. But then at the same time, the Panameras are like really big. And the thing about my current car is like it's still really nippy and like handles really well. And I don't know if I don't want a car that's just
spun out the other day.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, like properly.
Yeah.
What do you mean, like?
Like not off the road or anything, but you know the roundabout, the Premier roundabout.
Yeah.
Where you go right and then you go straight on to go to the motorway. I go left to go towards Loughborough. That first roundabout, that the first one where we'd both go right.
That's slippy. Jesus Christ.
It was a bit wet.
Yeah.
And I was in third and I wasn't even going fast at all.
Yeah.
Put my foot down a tiny bit, the back end just spun out and I just went sideways. So it looked as if I was trying to go back towards Premier. Yeah. And I wasn't. And then a car drove past me and like looked and was like, because I wasn't going fast. So they looked like, what the fuck? And I was like, and I just reversed and went on and I put it on snow/wet mode. I was like, and that ever since now, this was like last week. Ever since it's a bit wet now, every time I put it on that. I didn't even go fast at all.
I had, for people that don't know, I had a Golf R prior to my M2. And that's a four-wheel drive. And you could literally like put that into corners at silly speed. And it was like 300 horsepower hatchback and it would just stick. And like Sanaa always mentioned, she misses how I used to drive that because you can just be an idiot in it and it like would be sound. Where with my current M2 comp, like 410 horsepower in a car that's very light, it's so, so responsive and the back end just flies out if you give it any round corners. So I can't like drive it at all like an idiot around any corner. There was one time I was leaving Loughborough after, I think we watched the football together. And I think I said to Finn like the next day, oh mate, I was literally 2 meters away from like hitting a fucking lamppost. And if I had called Finn and said, hey, mate, I've just crashed. And you had seen where I crashed. It literally, I don't even know how it would have managed. I just went around a corner 3 miles an hour quicker than I probably should have. And I literally about put it into
That's
a fucking
That's what mine
hedge.
Was like, yeah.
Yeah, it was silly.
Let's do the next question. One off plan meal for the rest of your life. What are you choosing? This is from Munro BM Fitness.
What's the context and sense? Like, is it one off plan or what? I can only ever have once a week, or is it daily?
Let's just say anytime you're ever allowed a meal off your usual meal plan,
yeah.
What would you have? So, like, if you could still have your normal meals,
yeah,
and regularly you would, but you only get one off plan meal like ever, and it has to be the same forever.
Probably go like Thai food or something like that.
Yeah,
I'd say something like I wouldn't want like a pizza every time because I feel like peak off season, the last thing you want is a pizza.
I don't know. I think it's easy to get in.
Yeah.
I think I probably would go pizza.
Yeah, I think if you were to give me the option, I probably would.
I have chicken and rice in my diet anyway, which is very, like, pretty much if I was to get, like, the basic.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I get chicken and rice. Yeah. If I get a Chinese, I get chicken and rice.
Yeah.
If I were to get an Indian, I'd get chicken and rice.
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah. So I would say pizza. And burger, I just don't like burgers, I don't think, anymore.
Maybe a burrito. Burrito or pizza. But then, if you were to, like, say to me randomly, Reece, you're eating an off-plan meal now, I'd be like, give me
pizza.
No, I wouldn't always. Yeah, I'd be like, yeah, yeah. That's why I'd say Thai food. But if it was only like,
if it was, I had to eat it for every meal forever, then I'd have something like.
I wasn't thinking that, but that would also make sense. Yeah, off-plan meals. Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't say dessert food. You love dessert food.
I do, but I wouldn't, like, imagine I'd just, every time, like, I wanted any kind of off-plan meal, I'd have to have a dessert.
Nightmare. Anything that we're forgetting? Anything that's like, oh yeah, that would be, you know, like, maybe like breakfast, going out for,
because
I've never gone out for breakfast, but.
I don't think, like, the only food I'd like for breakfast food would be like, oh, like a full English or pancakes or something like that. Like, I have eggs in my diet anyway.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I think that most bases are covered. Pizza's not covered in my diet.
No.
Like, so
you don't have pizza in your diet?
Not on a daily basis, no. So that's why I'd have pizza, because it's very different.
What about
cookie
dealers, mate? You know what I mean? Cookie dealers. I just have cookie dealers.
Never had one.
I just have cookie dealers.
Still got one in the fridge.
Still got one in the fridge.
I'm going to get one this week, and I'm a goodie bag.
Oh, yeah, you are. That's going to be stocked up in the fridge as
well. Alex Blessing was messaging me about it. He was like, me and you post-show. I was like, I've got other shows. He's got other shows. I was like, you can do what you want, really. I was like, well, we've got other shows to do.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, I know. All right, go on, next question.
Right. G-Wang Lee. Nice name, G-Wang Lee. Do you use a GDA during your off-season push phases?
No.
No.
Could do, but never felt the need to.
And also, you can monitor, like, blood glucose, and if anything, you can assess it, especially in an enhanced setting. There's things we can utilize, and even in a non-enhanced setting, there's things you can utilize. Like, I think a lot of people just look for supplementation because it's like, oh, food gets high, I need a GDA.
I think that's a waste of money.
I've never used them, and I don't really ever preach to clients they're absolutely essential.
I think
you know,
you just make better food choices.
Yeah,
like, just improve your nutrient timing,
do some
chew
cardio,
your food
get
more.
Lean. Like, like, I think it's one of those where, like, if I was to have a client who was just reporting back to me, like, they need a GDA and or like everything was out of whack, you probably could just look at them and go, let's say, for example, a client was signed up and goes, oh, I've always taken this GDA. Whenever food gets high, I always struggle, so I need it. You'd probably look at them and you'd already get guessed, right? They're probably going to be a little bit soft. Their food choice is going to be pretty poor.
Yeah.
Their meal timing is going to be pretty horrendous. And it's just going to be a case where if they were to be more
like
optimal, they'd be better off. And I think, unfortunately, and this again actually relates to when you go into the enhanced side of things, a lot of people just look at things to deploy instead of actually just assessing the basics. And like, maybe a GDA would be beneficial if you're eating your post-workout and your next meal within 30 minutes of each other and you've got real bad digestion. Yeah, no, that's what I mean. And your food choices are horrendous. Like, you're having a pack of Tang Fastics and you're having 4 off-plan meals a week. You know, maybe. But I think if you're pretty regimented, the last of your concerns should be a GDA. And if it is where GDA is needed, it's probably the root cause isn't a GDA that's going to help it.
It's very, in very, very rare situations, you
have
might
you ever told
be
a
like,
client?
Oh, you need
I think I might have said it to one or two at most, and I've not really seen much of a positive.
I'd never be like, oh, let's use this GDA. We need to use this GDA.
Yeah.
If they were like, I've got this, can I use it? I'd be like, if you want to try it and see how you feel, see if it helps, then cool. But we don't. Definitely don't need it.
Yeah.
That's what I would generally say.
Yeah.
Logan Fit 01. When coming out of a dieting phase, would you slowly bring calories back up or bring them straight to baseline / maintenance levels? Cheers in advance, lads.
Well, no worries, mate.
Good question.
It is a good question. And we get asked this a fair
depends
bit.
On, like, yeah, we spoke about this before, yeah, didn't we? About like reverse dieting and implementing high days at the end of a diet to assess data and things like yeah. that. We have spoken about this. I think it was in like the last episode.
If we were to give like one answer, though, I think it would just be...
Depends.
Yeah, it would be based off where
if
goals
post
are.
Post-show.
Like, post-show, the goal like, is not to reverse.
Straight into a surplus.
Yeah, the goal is not to reverse and be like, yeah, let me just reverse diet. No, but then at the same time, a lot of people think, oh my God, I need to be back to my baseline. I need to be this. Like, I think a lot of people think I'm either dieting or in a gaining phase yeah. and there's no in between. And in reality, like the reason why we eat food is to fuel performance when it comes to what we're looking from a physique development standpoint. And if you're just, let's say, holiday lean, you've got a few abs, but you're still, let's say, at a healthy level of body fat, there's no diet fatigue in the sense of negative kind of diet fatigue, you could easily just throw, as we said, some high days in. Train better, still be in a weekly deficit,
loads
and look
time,
to improve.
It
yeah, and
clients,
it's like
just slow, getting leaner but at a slower rate, yeah. looking better, feeling better, getting bigger and leaner.
Yeah,
you're absolutely laughing.
Yeah,
like because, like you say, performance improves, NEAT goes up because energy intake goes up.
You wash off some fatigue.
Yeah, you just look better and better, but yeah. only in well, I say in few occasions. In most occasions, for most people, that would be the best bet. Because most people coming out of a diet, they're not that lean.
No.
Let's be honest.
No.
But if you're really lean and you're pretty trash, then get straight back into a surplus. Don't waste time trying to reverse out, like get your food up. But that's usually in, let's say, a scenario of a contest prep, a photo shoot, or like a really long-term diet for an individual.
Yeah.
But if it's not that, if it's like a bit of a holiday diet or just a mini cut, let's say, you don't need to be like, I need to get straight back into a big surplus.
No.
Like, you don't. You could easily, let's say, extend that diet by another few weeks, getting bigger and leaner
yeah.
with more food because you've managed the reversal well. And then you'll set up the gaining phase way better than if you just go, oh, I have to get back into a surplus and gain 10 pounds quickly.
Yeah.
You don't.
I went away last year and I did like a pre-prep, like holiday tidy up. It kind of aligned well with a holiday. And I got pretty lean, not shredded. I was 107 kilos. So I was still like 10 kilos off stage condition. So that's like a good, like, I was lean, but I wasn't shredded. And when I came back, I literally ran like 6 to 7 weeks of a baseline, just building food back up, but still losing and kind of maintaining weight some weeks. And like some weeks I dropped, some weeks I gained, and I was just kind of like, held that weight. And then it was like, right, now time to actually push body weight up. So if I was to add up like the 8 weeks dieting previously and then like 6 to 8 weeks again after that of actually holding, like, but I was improving the visual while training better. It's like, yeah, you could argue in certain cases like, oh, maybe you could have spent time pushing body weight up, but I was training better and I was looking better. So it's one of those, it's very situation dependent, but I think a lot of people view it and think I have to be gaining like immediately. If I'm not in a calorie surplus, I'm wasting time. And it's like, if unless you're shredded,
you know what,
you don't really need to worry about
example
that.
Is, I posted about Alex the other day. So Alex that we spoke about in the last podcast, I put a post on about him basically where it was his mock peak, but if you swipe across, it went to his peak off season. And basically we did a pre-prep diet. And then the time in between the pre-prep diet and his prep, he actually lost more weight. But we weren't trying to diet.
Mm.
I was giving him more food every week, less expenditure every week. But because his performance was going up, his yeah. NEAT was going up, he was just looking bigger and better and leaner. He was feeling great. His food got really high. His expenditure was low. And it was like, well, you keep losing weight. That's fine. We're laughing. You're having more and more food every week.
Yeah.
You're looking good. You're feeling good. Your performance is through the roof. So he started his prep actually leaner than the end of the pre-prep, even though we didn't mean to do that.
Yeah.
But that's put him in a much better spot for the actual prep. If we'd have been like, oh shit, you're not gaining any weight, go for 3 off-plan meals a week, we've yeah. got to gain weight.
Yeah.
When already he wasn't like stupidly lean, he was in a pretty good spot. Like, we would have just then had more to pull
as
off
long
for the
as
prep.
You're, as long as you're fueling performance, that's
yeah,
the goal.
Exactly.
You know?
As long as you're feeling good and you're like recovering well,
yeah.
like, realistically, it doesn't matter how high or how low your food is. If you're feeling good, you're recovering well, your training's good, like you could be on 6,000 calories or 3,000 calories or 1,500 calories.
After your pre-prep last time, you were eating like,
mate,
I remember seven.
Pushing
yeah,
my food up
loads. I got my food up to the highest point. Like, I was eating like 5,000 calories and dropping weight, and I was
yeah.
like, wow, you were like, I remember you got to like 750
like,
carb.
I can't gain
and
weight.
You were like, mate, this is not
yeah.
making sense. But that was with a prep on the horizon. You easily could have just stuck at 750 carb. trained really well, probably dropped a bit more body weight. With a prep on the horizon, it probably wouldn't have made too much sense, but you could have easily.
Yeah.
And then that would have actually been beneficial.
I got down to like, what did I get down to? 180. No, I got down to 186.
Okay.
And then I pushed back up to like 198.
Yeah.
But if I'd have been at 192,
yeah,
I probably wouldn't have been like, I need to gain weight.
No.
Because
no.
I was at 186, I was like, I don't need to be this lean.
Yeah.
I wasn't shredded, but I was like, I don't need to be this lean.
Yeah.
But if I was like Alex, for example, he wasn't that lean.
Yeah.
He was lean, but it was like, right, you're in a good spot now.
Yeah.
So the fact that he was maintaining or getting a little bit leaner, it was like, cool.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Spot on.
It's literally a case of you go off the performance and then likewise feel and also composition.
Yeah.
So yeah. Right. Least favourite part of show day / most annoying? Good question, Musa.
It's not show day, but this. I'd say in the lead up, the hair removal is just a ball ache.
I never minded that.
Yeah, but it's not. It's okay, but it's not nice. Like, I enjoy getting the tan.
Yeah.
I enjoy, like, getting leaner. I enjoy filling up. I enjoy resting before the show.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoy traveling to the show and all that. But I don't enjoy doing the V or doing the shaving.
I didn't really mind it. For me, it was more so like, I get so drained of the same fucking conversations, the same like this, it's the same generic combos, and it's like, I know people are being nice, but I don't want to speak about my prep, or like I go for a walk and like the only thing you talk about is a prep, and it's the only thing on your mind of, oh, how was I looking, and it's like, it's quite nice just to like not have to think, I wonder how this meal is going to sit with me, or I wonder like when I'm doing it. It's like the process of just not always having to talk about yourself, and being so like, the amount of times that I'd almost be like, right, enough about me, when I'd try and talk about yourself, mate. When you're eating a meal, the last thing I want to do is be thinking about yourself. You just want to chill out, you want to talk about football, you want to watch something. You don't really towards the end. Like when we were sat over there, we spoke about your foods for the following weekend. If you do that every single weekend for the next, let's say, 4 or 5 weeks, which we will do when you're competing, it does for yourself get like on top of you, where you're just like, fucking hell, everything's about my food, everything's about this, everything's about that. So it becomes that's
not
more,
really on the day.
No. But that would be definitely one thing. And also as well, like this isn't, and don't take offense to this, any clients or people that see us at shows, but it isn't annoying. But it's hard to manage when a show day is like, let's say you have clients at a show, not one's competing, one's to watch you. It's annoying not being able to like be up and at it, and the same sort of like for example, I had a fair few clients come to my shows, and I was always I get frustrated because you want to be really personable and you want to spend time with them, but then at the same time, you actually do need to be thinking, right, I need to be registering this time. I need to chill out. I need to get backstage. And like, there was times at the Universe where I had like a fair few clients there, and likewise for the first show, I walked out after the first show and I had like 15 people, 20 people that came to watch me, and I had Sam videoing, and I was like, I just want to walk on my own and just have a chat with Finn, have a chat with Sanaya, have a chat with my mum. And like, you don't want to be a dick and be like, right, guys, I'm going for a walk. Or it's a bit of an awkward situation, because you can't, like, you don't have the same, you don't have that, you can't be the you on the show days to the same extent. That's not annoying. Like, it's not where you're like, oh, I hate these clients coming. It's more so like, you've got stuff to do.
Yeah, it's more so that you want to be able to give all those clients time, but you can't.
Yeah.
That's what's annoying. Yeah. If you had unlimited time, you'd be like, thank you so much for coming to everybody. You'd chat with everybody, but you can't.
Yeah, exactly. So that would be one thing that's like mildly frustrating, but not for the individual that comes, more so for you. And unless you just don't care, you know, and you're just like, ah, fuck it, they came for me, I didn't come for them.
Right, next question from Doug, DM Coaching. How to improve check-in efficiency without sacrificing quality? So I'm assuming you're talking about from a coaching perspective, mate.
Experience would be one thing.
Yeah, this is one thing that I think we've probably experienced in ourselves. Like back in the day when I wasn't as busy, I'd do a 15 to 20 minute check-in thinking that that was going to be higher quality.
Yeah.
Because the client's going to think, oh, they're giving me so much time. But I probably will definitely give more efficient and effective feedback now in, let's say, 5 to 10 minutes than I might have done back then in 15 to 20. And that comes down to experience with what works and what doesn't, things that you need to cover, things that you don't. You know, let's say somebody's nailing their sleep routine every week. We don't need to chat about their sleep routine every week because they're nailing it. So we don't even talk about that unless it becomes a problem. Let's say somebody is having an issue with a certain session across the week, we don't need to cover all the other sessions because they're all going great. Let's cover this session. Why are we not getting on well with it? What's not working well? What movement's not progressing well? What do we need to change? Let's say there's a certain body part that's maybe lagging behind. We don't need to go and look at all the good body parts that are progressing nicely. We maybe just look at the weak body part and we go, well, this body part seems to be lagging. Let's look at this a bit more. So you choose the things that require more focus, basically. Have good systems in place with your checking process. Prepare in advance. Don't be like, this is something again with the whole anonymous thing. But one of my clients sent me one of his old coach's check-ins and it was horrendous. It was like 5 minutes of him reading through the check-in because it was a form check-in and just going, okay, you've said this, and then going onto his sheets and looking at his sheets. Like,
I've seen.
How are you not prepared? Your whole check-in should be prepared and ready. Like, I have notes, everything's ready. It's so efficient because everything's prepared in advance. I'm not listening to the check-in while I'm doing the check-in. Like, that's the same thing. It's like reading the check-in while he's doing the check-in.
I've seen where they like they'll be like, oh, let me just get your sheets up. Oh yeah, everything's up. And it's like,
that is horrendous. If your coach does that, sack them now.
Yeah.
If they get your sheets up while they're doing their check-in, or if they're reading your check-in while they're doing
their check-in, or if they search your WhatsApp name to get your name, sack them immediately.
That is awful.
Yeah, but that's to them efficient.
I think as well, and I know you do it, I don't think it's professional having your WhatsApp on the screen.
Okay.
And I don't think it's professional having all different tabs across the screen because it's sharing people's data. You've got people's name, like, people do. I see, like, Christian, I don't care. I'm not calling Christian out and saying he's a bad coach. But Christian will have, like, his check-ins up.
Yeah.
And you'll do the same. You have your WhatsApp and all your clients up. I think that's not professional.
Do you notice, though, for me, I drag it across? Have you ever noticed that? I never have the names. You'll only see the chats. I don't show the names.
Fair enough. But still, I don't think you should do that. Like, so if I have the, for example, if it's their client, I will type in just their full name. So all they can see is them. They can't see any other names. They can't see any other chats. They can't see when people message me. Like, when WhatsApp's up, it's just them and their videos or their photos. So I do think that's unprofessional.
No, I get what you mean. Yeah, in the sense of, like, if they're looking at chats and they're like, oh, God, he hasn't got back to anybody since 4 p.m. and it's 6 p.m.
Even just, like, if a message comes up from Shannon will message me on WhatsApp. She could be messaging me about anything. Yeah. Like, it could come up while I'm doing a check-in. Like, it's not
professional. Just make some of our messages between each other. Jesus Christ, get ourselves cancelled with what we say in between on the DMs.
The cancel. The camera's going to die.
The cancel's going to die.
Sure.
Right, so camera died. I'm on battery changing, like, protocols. Finn did it when I was prepping. I'm now doing it when Finn's prepping. So we've swapped it around. A few more questions and then we'll be wrapping up. Which pro bodybuilder would you like to train with one day? Josh Coggan.
Yeah.
Josh Coggan's a lovely lad.
He's a great to train with. My favourite pro bodybuilder.
Yeah.
Adam Powell.
Yeah. Adam Powell.
Natural YouTube fan. We always say this, we follow football way more than bodybuilding, don't we?
Yeah. Is there any pro that you think, like, oh, at least he's, like, he's quite cool, maybe he'd be good to train with, like...
I like Ian.
Yeah. Seabum for the engagement, that'd be good.
And they're not over the top and annoying, they're not fake.
No.
You know what I mean? I feel like Seabum and Ian are just chilled.
Yeah, they're just, I reckon if we were to be like, right, what are we doing? Legs? Cool. Hack? Sound? I'm going to be shit at it.
It wouldn't be like...
Right, brother, let's go to war. Yeah, let's go for it. Oh, yeah, come on.
In the trenches, screaming at you. Like,
That'd
be good.
Yeah, I'd say someone like that. But again, like, it would really... There's not really a body... Someone like Justin Shear trains very well. He'd be cool. He does look really good. I'd like to just watch him train.
I know JP's not a pro bodybuilder, but, like, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, someone like that. But there's not, like, one guy that I'm like, oh, I just love to train. Like, when I was at Pure Muscle and Fitness, there was Quinton, you know, Eastwood or Beastwood, he was training. But, like, he just was, like, on the cables. But I wasn't like, I want to jump in with him. I was just like, oh, he looks like a fucking alien. Yeah. But he looks like a freak. Like, literally just so round and bubbly. But he wasn't training, like an absolute animal. He was just training. Like, Robin Strand was training. He's really, really freaky in person. I was like, wow, he's like bubbly as anything, like just crazy. Antoine was there, I'm pretty sure. And I was like, these guys, it's just cool. But I wasn't like,
should have jumped hey in guys, the
wall, can I jump in? You know,
that was, been like, fuck off.
They'd have been like, you fucking men's physique guy, fuck off out of it. Actually train properly. And I was like, oh, cheers, guys.
This is from Adelaide Fit. Best advice for choosing the category that is best fit for you? Good question.
Yeah.
I would say, first of all, assess how you look when you're actually lean.
Yeah, I was going to say, get lean and just see.
A lot of people will go, oh, I'm wellness, when they're in off season.
Yeah. it was actually like, it's not as much now, but I feel like last year, that was such a meme where, yeah, like the amount of just girls everybody who were
was
fat,
wellness, that was just fat
in their off season, and they'd be like, I'm wellness. It's like, no, you're just fucking fat. You're not wellness.
Get over it. Yeah, so actually diet down, assess how you look. I say it to clients all the time, like, we'll assess how you look as you're getting leaner.
And also,
do you suit men's physique more? Do you suit bodybuilding? Choose. Do you suit classic?
Like, you know, I feel like a lot of people, like, the amount of times I'll get someone say, what category do I choose to do? Yeah, so, you don't choose. Your genetics, your genetics and the way you grow will choose it for you.
Yeah, but enjoyment plays a role, yeah, and definitely. Your interest plays a role. Yeah. Like, because you might be more suited to men's physique, but you just don't want to do it. So you don't have to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but I think for a lot of people, they don't have the knowledge. They won't even know what men's physique is compared to bodybuilding.
No.
So, like, just get leaner. Well, build some muscle first, then get leaner, build muscle again, get leaner again, build muscle again, get to a point where you've got a physique that's worthy of competing, and then get lean and go, as you're on the way down, okay, I suit this, and do that.
Yeah.
And you'll know, or if you don't know, because you don't have the knowledge on it, research it. Have a look at the different federations, different categories, what they look for, what the criteria is. Get a coach, like, and that, all doing all that, you'll know what you should be doing.
Yeah, and then also you'll probably like pick up on conversations where people will probably speak to you about it, and as you get deeper into like the bodybuilding rabbit hole, you'll probably start to know where you're starting to fall.
Yeah.
Like, but I think a lot of people nowadays, they get into training and they think immediately, okay, instead of actually just going through the work of just building physique, I immediately need to know, oh, I'm a men's physique guy, future aspiring men's physique guy, and they put IFBB in their bio and stuff like that, or future IFBB pro. And in reality, it's like, just choose, like, let's say, enjoy your training, see how your physique develops, do a fair few like push-ups pull downs, and then you'll most likely kind of know where you sit when you go from there. So yeah, your ones, you got, you done?
I've got a few more, we want to rattle through them like real quick. Christian Mosen, 201 weeks I've coached Chris for.
Mad
mental that. Shout out to Chris. I didn't even know if you listened to the podcast.
Yeah.
What are the weirdest freebies/sponsors that people have offered you to push online?
Oh,
we haven't had anything that weird, have we? But Josh, no. Josh got sent loads of condoms, loads of Magnum XL condoms, which he said just hung off him, bless him. So that was weird, but that wasn't us.
Yeah,
I feel like I have. The thing is, I don't respond to like any DMs or emails. I'll get loads of emails that are like,
I have exclusive offer for you.
Yeah, like, but like some of them will be legit, and it's like partnership offer, collaboration offer. But if it's not a brand that I've ever heard of or know, I'll just ignore it.
I don't even read it. Yeah.
So I mean, there could have been some really weird stuff.
Yeah,
but I don't really know.
I've not really ever been offered anything that weird, which is surprising. I probably have, like. I remember there was one dude, and he was this was like 2-3 years back. I think he messaged you as well. And he was like, I want you to fly to Ireland and like bang my wife in front of me.
Yeah, I used to get like cuckold stuff all the time.
Yeah, I used to get stuff like that. And like, honestly, the guy was so weird on Instagram, even weirder in person. His wife wasn't too bad though. So.
Yeah, she was lovely.
Yeah, she was lovely in person. It was a good experience. Yeah. Never
again.
He just
sat in the corner, didn't he?
And yeah, he just sat in the corner and cried while masturbating.
Yeah.
And I weirdly liked that. It was quite cool.
It added to the experience.
Yeah, it was really good. And then injured it and he didn't cry, so I don't know what's happened. But that didn't happen for anybody who's actually interested in it. Oh yeah, that'd be a good reel, Sam, enjoy. Right, last question for me. When traveling abroad, do you bag your sups up into your hand luggage or main bag? So basically, I get all my creatine, whack it in my hand luggage, and then I take a kilo with me, all white powder, and say, trust me bro, it's creatine.
Honestly, it's creatine.
Yeah, honestly, it's creatine. I promise you it's creatine. I'll take 5 grams now, but
I
put it in my main luggage, like the actual bag.
It depends, because sometimes we'll go on trips where you only have hand luggage.
Yeah.
But in which case, I'll still put it in there, and I'll put it in small sandwich bags, whatever it is, protein, cream of rice, etc.
Yeah.
And I'll just write on it what it is.
Yeah.
And usually, I've never had any issues.
The only time I've ever had issues is cream of rice taking it through.
You can't have liquids.
Yeah, taking it through like the check-in process. Not check-in. Roy. Shout out Roy. Yeah. Didn't see him. We didn't actually fly from. No, we did fly from Birmingham. But I didn't see him.
Every airport.
No, we flew from Birmingham. So I was looking for Roy.
There's a Roy at every airport.
Yeah, there's a Roy at every airport. Shout out Roy from Birmingham. Shout out to Roy for listening, mate. Airport. Almost lost him his job because he let me through a cream of rice, and then we missed the flight. Had to go back through. Didn't get let through. Ate my cream of rice. Blamed Roy for letting us through. Then Roy got told off. Yeah. And then I saw Roy. I saw Roy when I flew to Canada. 6 months later, and he looked, and we both were like. Looked at each other and he was like, oh, motherfucker, almost lost me his job. So yeah, right, that's my questions done, mate. You got any more?
Yeah, last two. Aaron Aesthetics, if you could create a protein flavor that currently doesn't exist, he hasn't put what would you create, but I'm guessing that's the question.
What do I
like at the minute? Egg white, turkey rashers and peanut butter wrap.
Fucking god, no, I honestly there's not a single way.
There's gotta be. There's that many out there now. There probably isn't everything. A flavour I can even think of. To be fair, this sounds like a plug for CMP. It's not. But cookie dough, like...
But there's cookies and cream perform.
Yeah.
That's but, the like, same.
I don't know. I haven't tried the new cookie dough isolate from CMP yet.
And it's an isolate. Why is it why is it not a like, normal way? Because you can't make it.
No, you can't make a paste. I'll get them to do that. Maybe like a cookie dough kind of like maybe something cookie dough, I don't know, but yeah, there's that many out there that there probably is.
I'm gonna interject. When I was in when I was in Alicante, there was Oreo ice cream, but it wasn't the vanilla Oreo ice cream. It was like the chocolate. It was like chocolate Oreo ice cream, and me and Sanaya had like a scoop of that, and that was banging, and that was really nice. And the cookies and cream like perform weight is like the vanilla one, so maybe like a chocolatey one would be
chocolate
quite good.
Cookies and cream.
Yeah, chocolate cookies and cream. So you know that would be the one I'd go for.
Mars ice cream whey, that'd be good. Never Mars ice cream. Cream or like not the tub of like Mars. Yeah. I don't know what that's like, but the actual Mars bar ice creams.
Mm.
It's just like Galaxy. It's just like a Mars.
I feel
bar
like you could
cream.
Like Twix.
Nah, boring.
Really?
Yeah. Right, last one, Aisha. What's the one thing you would change about the fitness industry and why?
Oh God, where do I start? Everything.
I would change the whole.
Should we do like coaching, nutrition, like training? Like we break it down. So coaching, what's one thing you'd want to change about coaching?
The fact that there's no barrier to entry and everyone thinks they're a coach nowadays and most of them are awful.
Yeah, that would be a good shout.
That'd be the coaching one. And just like... People who, and this isn't a dig at you, this isn't me joking about you, people who have got a good following, people thinking they're a good coach because they've got a good following.
I got a message.
Most coaches, most people who have a good following will actually be worse coaches.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's one thing that I kind of pride myself upon, in the sense of I know I'm a very, very good coach and I don't like, and I know that I also look pretty good. So
yeah, but I don't mean that. I don't even just mean because people look good. I mean like there's some people who have
people
got like 300,000 followers.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
Who I guarantee are just awful coaches.
Yeah, because they've got a good engagement and they sell themselves well. Like I got a message and Finn actually replied to it and it was like a dude saying,
it's awful.
"Yeah, you look really like you know you clearly must know what you're talking about because like I'm signing up for coaching because you store your stage shots and you clearly know what you're doing. No, I could just be genetically elite." And get really lean really, really easily. And if anything, be cheating on my diet loads.
Yeah.
And I must be a good coach because I look good on stage. No, that's not how it works. So that would definitely be one. Like the entry requirements and in a sense, just like actually giving a fuck. Like when I was away, for example, I was a lot more efficient work-wise, check-in-wise. And I genuinely feel like on some days, I didn't feel like I worked at all. And I remember thinking,
a lot more than most coaches do.
And I remember saying to Sanaya, like, God, it could be so easy to be a shit coach and just not give a fuck about like clients at all. Just do a couple minute voice note check-ins, text out a few check-ins if you need to, and just get through your work day within literally an hour.
First hour.
Yeah. And it'd be like, oh, cool, sound. I'm making X
that's
amount
what
of money.
That's people do when they go and live in Dubai and they just go to the beach every day. It's like,
that's
cool if you want to do that, but I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't enjoy that.
Training, what would you change?
I'd
be saying like the not
nowadays,
the meticulous aspect.
Yeah,
I'd just say I'd
nowadays yeah. everybody being a like
everything being so analytical,
everything being so scientific. Everybody thinking that everything has to be optimal. That's gone way too far nowadays. Yeah. So I don't like that.
I feel like and it's quite a it's like you almost find it like for example if me and you were to go to let's say we went away, and we were to go to a hotel gym, we'd probably have a conversation on the treadmill about right what's our session going to be when on holiday. We should just be like, right, let's get in. We've got an hour and a half. let's say Sanaya and Shannon are at the pool, let's just fucking smash ourselves for a session.
Let's just smash each other.
Let's smash each other in the bathroom. It's not actually
while they're not here.
Yeah, while they're not here, let's just have a bit of fun in the bathroom. But in general, like that, when we, let's say if we're out of our usual setup of training, we should just go into the gym and go, right, they've got a leg press, they've got a hack, let's just do a couple sets each, last set, let's do something fucking silly, and let's just bury ourselves. But the way that we think is like, right, let's do this. Let's,
need
let's,
something that's going to be quad dominant.
Yeah, exactly. Be more and I think, dominant. Yeah, and I think like in certain situations, we can all be a part of it where it's just effort and it's just intensity and it's I like just having a bit of fun with it.
Balance with that.
Though. Yeah, we definitely do. Like, I think there's times, I think that's the one thing that you miss when you're in an off season, you know, because you just get away with it. And like we said, we should have actually probably done more of that. And I think that's probably things we will apply when you're out of your prep. You will probably both be training like four times a week, four big sessions, and it'll be quite a nice kind of, let's say, position of training. Just Finn needs to finish his prep so we can train together again.
You've got 15 weeks, yeah.
Miss you, bro. And right, then last one, no nutrition.
Oh. People focusing on the minutia, like thinking like, oh, I think I need to have this organic mince that's going to make me grow more than just having this whey protein, or going, I need isolate instead of the normal
God,
way.
My meal timings, I'm supposed to eat in 20 minutes, but they've actually just missed three meals the following day, or they've cheated on their diet twice.
Yeah, people focusing on the minute details and only really not even doing the major things very well.
Yeah.
Like, they won't be hitting their food targets consistently. They'll be missing sessions. They'll be getting 4 hours sleep. But then they'll be like, oh, it's all right because I bought this new multivit. It's like, no, that's irrelevant.
Yeah. Right. That's that. Thanks as always, guys. Questions. That's it. Next time that you'll be watching this, Finn would have done his first show. So best of luck to Finn in the future for now, but in the past tense for when you're watching this. Hopefully everything goes well.
Thanks,
I'll be in 2 days from now. So thanks as always for listening. Thanks as always for the story tags. And hopefully you've enjoyed episode 113. Cool. See you later, guys.